I'm Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky. I represent the 9th Congressional District of Illinois, which is part of the city of Chicago and northern suburbs. I have served there in Congress for, this is my 22nd year, elected in came here in 1999. And before that, 8 years in the Illinois General Assembly. But before that, I was executive director of the Illinois State Council of Senior Citizens. So the issue of long-term care, in fact, I was a co-chair of a coalition that was the Long-Term Care Coalition in Illinois, again, before I was elected to anything. And one of the issues, of course, was that we don't really have and still do not have a real long-term care policy in the United States. Especially now when families really don't have much income as they hit retirement, pensions are pretty much gone, relying on, I would say, inadequate Social Security, that more than ever, families are having to piece it together. What are we going to do? Now that I'm retiring, now that mom and dad are retiring, to make sure that they have the care, the appropriate care that they need and the best care that they desire. And so I've been involved in this issue for decades and decades now.
You've been a leading voice on long-term care issues during the pandemic, but well before, from my review, at least the 80s. And while I was looking at some of your past work, I was trying to learn what cultivated this passion.
My mother was in a nursing home. My dad would visit her every day. And then when she passed away, he continued to bring candy kisses. Literally, that's, you know, the candy called candy kisses. And where appropriate, would distribute them to. So he volunteered pretty much till he died when he was 91. As an organizer, I worked with older, this was before I was a senior myself, worked with older adults, lots of trade union retirees or union retirees at the Illinois State Council of Senior Citizens. So it was just something I really, first of all, I learned so much from these seniors at the time about being brave, of being bold, of not being afraid to speak truth to power. As an organizer, it was a great experience to work with older Americans for many, many years.
Thanks. And jumping ahead to 2020, how did COVID first get on your radar, and when did you realize it would become especially important in long-term care?
So we were having a hearing in the Energy and Commerce Committee, on which I have sat for a long time. Robert Redfield, who was head of the Centers for the Disease Control, was there, but he also took me into a side room to tell me that there was this this case of the COVID-19 virus in Illinois, one of the early cases. You know, we were just starting to really hear about that. That had, I think that very day, maybe later in the, had hit the news that we had an Illinois case. But subsequently, where were the real crisis points? And that was in long-term care. I think on the West Coast, there was a case of, I think, in the teens, the number of older Americans who had died in a single nursing home. And it became clear that those were places of tremendous vulnerability. And increasingly then in Illinois, we saw the same thing. And what we also saw was a lack of personally protective gear was not available. We were connecting with municipalities who were finding real difficulty in making sure that the nursing homes in their jurisdictions were prepared. What about testing? You know, it took a long time for the processes to catch up with what was going on in long-term care facilities. And we lost a lot of people. And it really exposed what happens in these communal settings. And when you don't have the trained personnel and when you don't have the right equipment and you don't have the vaccines and you don't have the testing equipment. So that's really where it hit hardest, fastest, earliest. Was in long-term care facilities. So, you know, we were constantly having to beg, borrow, and steal to get what was needed in our district and in our community.
And did it in the pandemic in long-term care impact you personally at all, friends, relatives, or COVID in general? How did that impact you?
Well, I mean, I guess I would have to say personally, in terms of all the time that my staff and I personally got involved in talking to the State Department of Public Health, the city, various cities. It wasn't so much individuals that I knew personally, although there were people in some of these settings that I knew personally, and families that would call. So it was a main area of focus for me, particularly at the beginning of the pandemic, and then, you know, just asking for special focus by the administration, by all of the health departments to really help out here. I was very concerned that, you know, our frontline workers, I worked closely also with the union when there was one, and with the nursing homes to, you know, see what they needed. You know, we saw things like spike in the price of the PPE things that were happening at nursing homes when people for a while weren't allowed to go back to the nursing homes. There were all kinds of things if they were hospitalized, they couldn't go back. So there were all kinds of things that just demanded attention.
A final question here. You mentioned some of the policy changes. What challenges do you see moving forward in accomplishing some of the policy goals that you have in improving long-term care?
Well, I'm currently working on a bill that will help modernize nursing home infrastructure to make sites more livable and safe, to make sure too that we, I'm concerned that when it comes to nursing homes, let me say first, that private equity is now getting involved in nursing home ownership. And I'm concerned that we maintain, number one, care, that we have adequate number of frontline workers, that they have good training, and that care comes first and not just profits. And, you know, this is something that I am watching carefully and that we need to make sure about. And then, of course, the issue of the home and community-based services. So initially, I was beside myself that with joy that the president announced in his speech to the Congress that $4 billion would be devoted to home and community-based care. I'm hearing some whispers that number may be reduced. I hope not, because we need, and that's what people want, is their to be at home and to be able to afford home care, to be able to help family caregivers, as well as the workers who come into the home. To have a real long-term care policy in the United States of America, it is just so long overdue. And it is not, many other countries have provisions for when people need that kind of care. When you have 10,000 people turning 65 every day in the United States of America, we're going to need literally millions of more caregivers. They need to be paid decently. The average salary for long-term care workers is $12 an hour. That is not a livable wage. And so we absolutely need to make this job, which is so precious, so needed, so important, to be respected in every way, to have the training and the equipment that they need and the pay that they deserve so that they themselves can live. So, we have a long way to go. But I will say that the pandemic lifted up these needs. It really pointed out to us a pathway of where we need to go. And now it is really going to be up to us to make sure that we work with all of the stakeholders. And I'm talking about families, about advocacy groups, about the medical community, about unions and workers, to put this together. And in the meantime, as I say, filling the gap may be players who see a financial opportunity here to benefit and even exploit. So I think speed is of the essence here to really get to work and make the changes that we need for older Americans. Many people are desperate right now. Older Americans over 65 years old, by the way, who are on SSI, Supplemental Security Income, the amount of money they get is below the national poverty level. They can't live on that. And we have to make sure that Medicaid is adequate. That is the chief way of paying for nursing home, people who live in nursing homes. It's mostly Medicaid. So we have a lot of work to do to protect what we have of a social safety net. Let me just end with a quote from a sociologist that I like to quote, whose name I don't remember right now, but she said, "Many countries have a social safety net. The United States has women." And so we're talking about paying the workers in long-term care are mostly women. They are mostly women of color. They are actually many older women than themselves. And of course, the caregivers as part of families are mostly women. We've seen those women have to leave the workplace to take the caregiving roles. So, the challenges are enormous, but I think the interest and the ability to organize around these issues are great. So we have to get to work.
Thank you so much, Congresswoman. We appreciate your time.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.